May we live our lives and speak our truth, always in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please sit. Many years ago, after my first degree at LSE and before my second degree in seminary training at Oxford, I worked as a registrar of civil marriages in the London borough of Islington. That was quite a year, not least because on Saturdays in the register office, we married couples every 15 minutes. 5 minutes in, 5 minutes ceremony, 5 minutes out. And if you were late at the beginning of the day, you had to come back at the end of the day. One morning in that register office, the telephone rang and I began to ask the usual questions. When is the wedding? What is the time? I asked the man what his name was, date of birth, address. He gave me the answer. And then I said, well, can you tell me now, please, the name and address, age of your bride? And there was a silence, and then the man said with a slightly foreign accent, oh, I was calling here to find the woman for me that you would find. Now, Islington was a strange place, but not that strange. Proverbs 31, verse 10. A capable wife. I know, you're sighing already. I saw that. I saw it. Who can find? Well, I have. And I need to let know the husband of our rector that when that passage was read, the rector looked around the pulpit to catch your eye and you weren't looking. So you'll be hearing about that later. It's not my task this morning to justify this passage within canonical scripture, though one day I hope to meet some of these lectionary compilers and, in a Christian way, wring their necks. But I sympathize as best as I can as a man with the woman who, hearing this passage read, feels slighted, belittled, ignored by these sacred words. The woman who is divorced. The woman who continues in an abusive relationship. The woman who, through choice or circumstance, is single. And yet, in a culture in which these words were written, women were to be seen but never actually heard or valued. And in a culture in which these words were written, women were invisible objects rather than people of praise. So in a way, even then, though not now, Proverbs 31 is progressive. And though I don't want to share this with you, the book of Proverbs does not say much good about men. For we are described as cheats and liars, philanderers, idlers, and wastrels. Wow. So these 22 verses of Proverbs 31, probably matching to the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, are in fact, all things considered, rather enlightened. But I believe that God never urges us to feel guilty about not having gifts or not being able to do things which we are not capable of doing. So if this chapter causes anyone to feel somehow less than worthy, it cannot be the intention of the divine author. In fact, this week, I received an email from a new friend in this congregation, and within the email, he wrote this. He said, God's voice reassures, Satan's voice frightens. God's voice encourages, Satan's voice discourages. God's voice convicts, Satan's voice condemns. Now, every commentator, every essayist that I have read this week, amongst all the other words that they write and interesting thoughts they offer, they all make one common point. That the whole chapter, every single verb, should be read in the light of one verb, which is in verse 30. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, is to be praised. And our rector pointed out to me earlier this week when I was moaning about the lessons for Sunday, she said that one of the Tiffany windows, just where Darcy is sitting, is actually in honour of this scripture, Mary Rhinelander Stuart, put there by her son, Liz Pennard Stuart. Look at it afterwards and see that verse. The whole chapter finds its focus, its energy, its justification in she fears the Lord. And this fear is not the, it's horrible fear, but it's the fear of awe and wonder that we have this closeness with God every day possible. It is this dynamic, it is this energy, it is this direction that we should look for, not only in our beloved partners, but in all those with whom we work and have to do. We are enhanced and encouraged by spending time with those who know what it is to fear the Lord and to have the Lord in wonder and awe. Proverbs 31 in the Message translation, the woman to be admired and praised is the woman who lives in fear of God. One word. Give her everything she deserves. Festoon her life with praises. And one commentator writes, a woman who trusts in the Lord is finally free to be truly strong. She is not worrying about things over which she has no control. She trusts God to help and care for her and family in all the ways that she cannot and should not be expected to do. She knows it is a loving God who is sovereign over her family's future. Friends, this is transformational. And when I stop focusing on the checklist of virtues and gifts and abilities and attitudes that I want for myself, and instead focus on the divine giver, the source of all these things, then in surrender I find abundant life. Our second reading, out of interest, begins, as does the first, with a question. James says, who is wise and understanding among you? And the woman of Proverbs shouts out this answer, the one who fears the Lord. And even the gospel contains, somewhere in the middle, a fundamental question asked by Jesus of his disciples. He says to them, and how embarrassing is this? He says, what were you arguing about on the way? And you know what they were arguing about? They were arguing about who goes first. Dominance, preeminence, hierarchy. But all of that would have been sweetly redundant if they had listened to the woman in Proverbs and if instead they had feared the Lord. This fear, this awe, this wonder, this praise of God is no breath or vapor. It is resolute stuff. It is foundational matter. It creates a psychic change in our deepest being and a desire to surrender again and again and again to God. She discovered that secret. She shares it with us this morning. And when we follow her example, we will, to quote the words of Bill Wilson in Alcoholics Anonymous, we will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. A feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will intuitively, fear of the Lord, know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. And she's shouting this at us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we cannot, could not do for ourselves. And then Wilson says, are these extravagant promises? And the woman in Proverbs says, no, not for the one who fears the Lord. The woman, the man who fears the Lord, who struggles, and it is a struggle, to put God first. The woman, the man who fears the Lord, who seeks to find God's presence in their daily living. The woman, the man who fears the Lord, who surrenders to God on a daily, sometimes it has to be moment by moment basis. This person, we have the promise, will be a person of strength and dignity and laughter. May God work this miracle in us today by the power of His Holy Spirit. Amen.